This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Just to get you guys some interaction a little bit, get you engaged, I will say, let's come up with four principles that we think they are key points, an important principles, foundations that we can use to meet any challenge in marital relationships. Okay? I will come up with one. To make it hard, I will be the last one. Then Sheikh Ibrahim will come with one. The brother will come with one. And sisters will come with one. So we have four principles that, you know what, these are general principles that I can use to solve any type of challenges that I might face in my marital relationship or in my marriage. But if one brother said a principle, and he, for example, said, be happy, be a happy person, that's how you deal with all people. We have to have overwhelming majority of people by raising hand that they agree that this is a fundamental principle. Okay? So the brother or sister, they just don't get away with anything. I don't get away with anything. Sheikh Ibrahim, he can go away with anything. It's fine. He's the boss. So is that deal? Deal. Okay, let's start with Sheikh Ibrahim. Since kind of put the bar, raise the bar. What in your opinion, Sheikh Ibrahim, what's the most important principle that you think can be used to solve any challenges in marriage?
Okay, so what I would think is, what I would think is, and I'm qualifying my answer, what I would think is, regardless of love, whether there's the couple love each other, regardless of whether the couple, you know, agree with each other on most issues, what I would think the most important quality that the marriage has to have is unity, that both husband and wife have to be united. Challenges meet anybody, meet any entity. Let's say if the marriage is an entity, there will always be challenges. Challenges has been from day one. Adam and Eve were challenged from the beginning. And when they sinned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressed them both. He did not address one of them.
Unity, what do you mean?
So it's unity, like they are united together to face these challenges. Regardless of their disagreement, you're in a war. You put away all of your disagreements and unite on facing that challenge.
How do you come up with this?
It's just common sense.
Because that's the exact point I have. That's not fair. It's the same point I have. I said nobody can think about it. Excellent.
Great minds think alike.
You know, I worded that this way. I think one of the most important principles, what you just said, is you always remember you guys both in the same sight. The moment you lose sight of this, the moment your marriage goes into trouble. You always remember we are on the same side.
You fight together, not against each other.
So we are basically united. We're on the same side. So anytime you face any problem, if you look at this problem, I'm here and you're there, you're not going to be able to make that challenge. But anytime you see any challenge, regardless what's the name of that challenge, we're going to mention several today, tonight, but you always think that you are on the same side, it became easy. Excellent. JazakAllah khair. Now I have to think about one. Okay. I'm glad that I'm the last one. Okay, let's start with the sisters. What another principle, like a general principle that we can tell people, that's so important, will help you to solve and to meet any challenges in marriage. Yes, sister, but we're gonna get a vote on your point. Good communication. Wonderful, wonderful. So how many of you guys think that this is an important principle? Raise your hand. I definitely agree. Okay, good communication. If there is no communication, you will never be able to solve problems. Simple. And good communication means you don't keep quiet. Some people, when they get angry or mad or there's a problem, they don't talk about it. You know, that's not going to work. You know, one of the things I always say, in marriage, there is no guessing game. Mm-hmm. You know, be clear. Clear, good communication.
You're not a mind reader.
It's not a mind reader. Very good. Also, so that's number one. Number two, also there is a difference between talking to each other and talking at each other. That's right. And that's important. Sheikh Ammar today's khutbah was very good about to learn how to listen. Yeah. So communication. Good, clear communication. Thank you. Let's see the brothers. What another principle? Yeah?
To believe that whatever happens is a qadr from Allah, and we need to actually work together to accept that qadr and make the dua and make the salah to make it easy in this relationship.
So making dua and salah will help us to meet any challenge. So when there is a challenge, we always turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to overcome this challenge. Who think that this is...
Can I rephrase what he said?
Yeah?
So I will rephrase what you said. It's like you are invoking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are showing that you are powerless and that without Allah's help, you cannot be powerful. You are trying to empower your relationship with your wife or your spouse to be able to meet that challenge, regardless of what that challenge is. That you, without Allah's help, are powerless. So, and that goes into what you say, the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, facing the qadr of Allah.
What it meant to be, and it's a qadr from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get to this point. So the dua and the salah, we ask Allah to make the best out.
And that's invoking Allah into becoming part of the your weapon to face that challenge.
Nice. Excellent. No, hold on. Who think that this is important? That whenever one of the principles will help you to face challenges is to strengthen your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That will help you to face this challenge as a general principle. Raise your hand if this is something you think is good. Very good. One of the things that helped with that as well, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the issue of divorce and, you know, going through challenges, if you notice, in Surah Al-Talaq, Allah mentioned His name in every verse.
Yes.
Allah. This is the only surah where Allah mentioned in it. In it, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. In it, in the Surah Al-Talaq, Allah says, those who have taqwa of Allah, Allah will bring them exit, relief. Okay? In the ayat, which is another surah, Surah Al-Baqarah, when Allah spoke about the issue of marriage difficulties and divorces and the rules of divorce, what He ended these verses with? وَحَافِظُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ وَالصَّلَاةِ الْوُسْطَى وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. Care for the salah, especially salat al-asr. Sheikh Abdul Bari Yahya told me, in his experience, he said, Sheikh, I had consulted countless number of brothers and sisters. Marriage problem. You know, like a lot of brothers and sisters. And he said, every time when I see so much like damage in the relationship and fight and hate, I ask them individually or both, how is your Salat al-Asr? And they kind of, what? He said, I intentionally ask, everyone came to me, do you pray Asr on time? And ta'rifun Salat al-Asr should be prayed in the beginning of the time. You don't delay it. He said, Wallahi Shaykh, I can't la tankharim. He said, I can tell you, never, يعني, I was proving wrong. Never a single time that I found out that they are praying on time Salat al-Asr. That most, يعني, 90% of the time, they don't pray Asr on time. And he said, I don't know, but I feel like mentioning Salat al-Asr specifically, without, يعني, Salat al-Wusta, which is Salat al-Asr, okay? When it talks about relationship, whatever that relationship, I don't know, I cannot point finger, I cannot make the connection, but he said, in my experience, I found this is to be very common. So when he told me that, I start asking. I wouldn't claim that I made like an effort to keep track of all this, but you know what, I have seen this also be true in many cases before, that I found people who don't pray Asr on time, that their relationship, for whatever reason, you know, became not as good as it is.
And the hadith that says, فَكَانَ مَوْتِرَ أَهْلَهُ, those who miss Asr prayer, it's like they lost their family.
Well, beautiful.
Yeah.
That's a very beautiful point. That's a very beautiful point. Yeah. So that's, you have something to say?
Mm-hmm. And, basically, when you have a complicated problem, you have to have a reference point, right? Mm-hmm. You go to, and a benchmark is, and it's obvious, it's the kitab and the sunnah, but on and sunnah. If you deviate, we're in trouble.
Very well. So just those who are online. So what Ayman was saying, it's important to always have a reference point, you know, and a point that you go back to when there is a dispute, which is in our case, alhamdulillah, we're Muslims, we can go back to the Quran and Sunnah and to see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what the Prophet said, if there is a guidance in regard to this issue. Very well said. Okay, fourth principle. That's kind of now interesting for me. I think one of the things that will help, in my opinion, as a general principle, okay, is honesty. You know, when you are honest with each other. Mm-hmm. And subhanAllah, I found this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put so much barakah when you are honest with each other. honest in admitting your mistakes, honest in saying what is your intention is, honest on, you know, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِيُّرِيدَ إِصْلَاحَ, and that's something shows the authenticity of their intention. They're honest. They really want to fix. يُوَفِّقِ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا. So honesty is something that you can build on. Because no trust, you cannot solve any problem. If I don't trust you, we would never be able to solve our problems.
Right.
So honesty is, in my opinion, a fundamental principle to face any challenges in marriage. You guys agree?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm just kidding. Okay. Let's start with challenges, Sheikh Ibrahim. In your opinion, I have some points here. I think maybe this is a little bit too late for some people, but I will tell you something, and that's not a philosophy, any philosophical statement. In my experience in life, كثير من الناس, many people I met in my life, and when I meet them and I get to know them, I think I know the person, but I found out later that this person have so many other persons inside them. Does that make sense? And I found so many people, that person, the more I live with them, the more I deal with them, I found so many others inside. They're not have multiple disorders or anything like that. I don't mean they are any mentally not stable. No, but I mean, because subhanAllah, we carry so many different layers and personalities and moods, and there is so much in it you have not discovered yet. Yani, there is things about me, Sheikh Ibrahim, maybe don't know yet. There's, I discover things, Sheikh Ibrahim, passions and stuff like that, and you yourself change over time. Okay, so I think the first challenge, Sheikh Ibrahim, is getting to know each other. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't invest time in getting to know each other.
Right. Yes. I think marriage in itself actually is based on the desire to know someone and to be known by someone. And that is actually what intimacy is, you know, intimacy is the opposite of loneliness. Adam alayhi salam, when he was in Jannah, he felt lonely. Allah created his wife for him, and now he got to know her, and now he, you know, it begins with knowing someone, and that you want to be known by that someone. And it talks about, like, you need to be ready to reveal yourself to that someone when you get married to them, and that you don't hide anything from them and give them the opportunity to know you. That's a challenge in itself. That is what builds the relationship, that you two start learning about each other, and learning about each other on many different levels. Intellectually, emotionally, physically, even sexually, knowing about each other spiritually as well. These are the five areas of intimacy that you need to actually connect with your spouse on these areas, on different levels, and you take it slow, because there's so much to know and there's so much to enjoy about that. And it is important that is the first challenge, is to build the marriage. And building the marriage is building the relationship. And before you start with anything, make your spouse your subject of knowledge, that you are learning about them. And that in itself is a great challenge. And it requires skill. It requires patience. It requires that you are ready to forgive if you learn something that you don't like, and that you are committed to this relationship regardless of what that revelation will bring out, because it's important. So
there is many layers to this, Paula. Very, very good point. Also, we grow through stages in life, and sometimes when we are in a certain stage, I kind of lost you. You know, I'm not the same person 10 years ago. You know, I'm not the same person before having a grandchild. I'm not the same person before my kids got married or have kids. I'm not the same person like when I have just a simple job. You see, as I grow in my life, my age, my financial responsibility, my role in society, my role in community, there is a change. And sometimes we don't pay attention to these changes and try to know each other. Also, sometimes, I hate this kind of, I think sometimes we fool ourselves. I know him like the back of my hand. First of all, I guarantee you don't know the back of your hand. I can guarantee you, a lot of people, the back of my hand, I guarantee you, you don't know the back of your hand. That's one. Maybe true, you know, you're like the back of my hand. You know, I don't know how many lines in it, I don't know, you know. It's just an expression which is I always found weird. But anyway, going back to the main point, I know him very well. I know her very well. And the reality is you really don't. There is an exercise I do sometimes. You know, with my family, I do it with people who ask me for counseling, and I tell them, hey, why don't you write 5 things about your spouse that you love so much? And one of the benefits of this, it surprised me. You know, over time, I found every 5 years, my wife come with a new list, you know, which is... I don't know if I added to the old list or just the new ones. But it helped me to know, oh, I didn't think that this is something important to her. Mm-hmm. You see? For example, you might be surprised. I don't know that this means a lot to her. So that's one of the ways to get to know what really makes you close to your spouse. That's an important thing to do. And, many times also when we ask people to write about their spouse, you'd be surprised. They just, I don't know. It's just wrong. It's not correct. That's old, long time ago. It's not the same today. So I think it's important to invest in getting to know each other's, what they like, what they love, you know, and keep focusing on the thing that matter. And
I would like to add to this point is that sometimes we think we know our spouses, but we actually what we know is an image that we developed in our mind about who they are. And that stuck with us. And we're not willing to change it. And that's problematic in itself because it will make you face problems when you really are not treating your spouse fairly because you're just treating an image. You're treating a persona that you created yourself because you liked it. However, that can be easily, overcome when you open up to your spouse and you allow her, especially for men. Men are not communicators. They're not good communicators. Women like to talk. And that's why sometimes they shut their wives down and not listen to her. Let her talk, and you just sit there and hear her and listen to her feelings as well, because whatever she's saying, she's actually not telling you information. She's connecting with you to know her even better, to reach in the depth of her feelings. You know, it's visceral, like they say. It goes to the very cell of their bodies. Because that's where her soul is, residing in every cell of her body. So you will be amazed how even more wonderful and more pleasurable the new person that you are learning now about your spouse. And that goes also for the women, because the men are not really good communicators, they're not willing to communicate their feelings.
So Sheikh, how can you solve this problem? If one of the spouses is not opening up,
well, there are different ways of communicating with the person.
Can you give us tips?
You just don't have to let them feel comfortable. Sometimes they're not doing this because they have insecurities.
My husband doesn't like to talk.
Doesn't like what?
To talk.
Well, at one point you will find ways to make him talk or communicate. Sometimes, one of the counselors actually was advising, if you're not good verbally, try to write. Yes, give them a journal. Tell them, here's a journal. Give him a gift as a journal with a beautiful pen. And men, by the way, love pens. You know,
I
love pens. You know,
what kind of men?
Let him start writing about himself. Writing anything, any silly thing. Sometimes you just read between the lines.
Very true. Yeah. Prayers people like to write.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Speaking of perception, I teach a course called Fiqh of Love. I just launched it this week. It's online with Al Maghrib Institute. I advise you guys to take the course. And it is like a very well prepared and a lot of materials in it. So one of the things that I talk about is me and Sister Sarah Sultan. We talked about the issue of lenses. You put a lens, you know, that we put a lens in your eyes, and you see everything through that lens. You already have that lens, and it became unfair, not fair. You don't give the person even a chance, because you always judge them based on 20 years ago, 10 years ago. You remember when this incident happened. You know, you always have this lens on you, and you're not willing to take off these glasses, and you know what? Your vision now changed. You know, you can change that. You can change that perspective. That's so important to do. Sometimes the lens comes from a package, like culture. You know, I just have this pre-notions about women, about men, about working women, about educated women. Like one person said, I'm not going to let my wife finish college. I said, why? He said, some guy told me I don't want my educated my wife. Why? He has that lens that educated women, working women are bad. They're like arrogant, are not going to listen, are going to dump me later on. You know, she's gonna divorce me. She's going to leave me. So it already comes with that lens putting. So anything she does, I would immediately judge her through that or judge him through that. And that's very, very dangerous in relationship. In any relationship, but especially in marriage. Right. We talk about one of the things, open up, talk about. I think one of the biggest challenges that I found it in many marriages is children. Children can test your marriage in many different ways. So let's explore some of these ways. And let me ask the crowd first. What do you think the biggest challenge between husband and wife when it comes to children? Give me like a point that you see it's a point of tension. Yes. Very good. When it comes to discipline, somebody wants to discipline so much, and one is so relaxed, you know, about rules. Chef Ryan.
I think the biggest challenge about children is time. And what I mean by
No, what's she saying?
What's she saying?
Yeah, any discipline? Comments first. Then we
the thing is, that discipline, if one parent decided on a way of disciplining the child, do not oppose that parent and let them do that, and then you can talk about it later on for the next time that you two decide on how to discipline the child.
So is it okay for the husband to be like the relaxed one and the mom is the tough one, everything on time, you know, there is like
actually that is, I mean, they will switch roles. They will switch roles. There are different things. I mean, it's not an easy thing to discipline a child. And I can say for myself, I'm the worst disciplined parent. I am very lenient and laid back when it comes to that. Whereas my wife is more different. That's why I don't oppose her when she starts disciplining the children. And, it has to be where you should give them, the discipline has to be out of love rather than punishment. It's not punishment.
I think the key point is when you have two different methods. Like, there are some parents, they don't believe, there is no parenting. I don't know why there is parenting if you're not gonna do parenting. If the kids do everything what they want. You know, some kid, the father, it's okay. Like even in the message, sometimes you see some kids do things. Your son, your daughter, he or she. Oh, okay. Okay, what? He's spilling, you know, juice over the carpet. He's like putting a hole in the couch. And he's like, and he's like, please, your kids. And one of the parents would say, oh, sweetheart, you know, just listen to what the sheikh says. Okay. It's just not this is wrong. I'm telling you the truth. So, for example, he stays late, comes late. You know, a teenager coming 1 a.m. to the house? I'm not gonna agree with that. So, or a teenager will wear a miniskirt and go out, you know, or adult. You know what? I'm not gonna agree into that. But another person, no, let them have experience. You see? So to completely different. What is it here, Sheikh?
I think there should be, from the beginning, the children, when they're raised from the beginning, parents have to set boundaries on the kids. That you don't make the relationship between you and your children fluid, where there are no clear boundaries. And that there are, you know, there are consequences, there is respect, there is discipline, and all of this has to be set. And it is actually to give them a healthier way of growing up rather than being, you know, like they actually raise themselves when there are no boundaries. And that starts with the marriage itself having boundaries, having rules set, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created marriage with laws. There are laws for marriage, laws for parenting. And if we apply these laws, things will go aligned. Otherwise, we will be just like a guessing game, and we will lose these children. And so there should be big boundaries on like schooling, on what they watch on TV, the electronics that they use. And parents have both to, you know, participate in that. So
nice.
And to be together on it.
If I may use the principle that we said.
Which, going back to unity, they have to be
so
united.
So we have to feel like we're on the same side. I don't hate my kids. No, we all love the kids. We all want the best for kids. So we're coming from that perspective.
Right.
The second principle, communication. You have to talk to your spouse. You just don't fight over it or fight over in front of the kids.
Exactly.
You and her come together and said, hey, there is parenting, there is this, talk to each other about it. You know, express your differences, agree on certain common ground. Another principle, beautiful principle we hear here, is the issue is certain things, it's not about my opinion, your opinion. It's about also halal, haram, allowed, not allowed.
Right.
Okay, so there is a reference point, which is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, principle that, you know what,
being
we
honest,
have to be honest with each other about
it. And honest to the kids.
Don't
show them, don't tell them not to do something and you do it in front of them.
Sometimes it reaches to a level where it is, we can't go through each other. In this case, I highly recommend for you to go to a counselor. You and your spouse go to a counselor, a third party, where he can listen to you and kind of bring you together to be able to sync together.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And there is a lot of child, you know, counselors and child psychology specialists. They will help you a lot. And with a little bit tweak, it's all about how to frame things. And it can change your whole entire perspective.
And I like what you're saying, because I read somewhere they say, sometimes when you go to a child psychologist, they want to deal with the child and by himself or by herself, and not separate or independent from the family. But what is best is actually to have what they call family therapy, where the child is dealt with within the context of the family, within the environment of the family, rather than, oh, the child has ADHD. Well, can we just explore even more and see the environment of the family? Maybe the family is broken or dysfunctional, or it's not conducive to a healthy child rearing. So you have to deal with the child within the context of the family. So I like that point.
Speaking of ADHD, my daughter, Summer, she's like, 6 years old? Seven. She's seven. So I told her, hey, I want you to move you to this new school. She said, no, I don't want to move to new school. And we had a heated discussion over, you know, which school she want to go to. She said, I want to stay in my school because, Baba, you know, I have dyslexia. Dyslexia, whatever.
Dyslexia.
Yeah,
dyslexia.
But she
said
dyslexia.
Yeah,
dyslexia. And I said, and in my school, there is a specialist who deals with my dyslexia. I said to her, yeah, that's fine. I have dyslexia too. And I went to regular school. She said, no, you don't have dyslexia. Maybe you have ADHD or something.
She diagnosed it right
away. No, maybe I have ADHD or something like that. But not dyslexia. I said, what? That's 7 years old, talking to the sheikh this way. Anyway. So, speaking of which, going back to challenges with children, what do you guys think? She said discipline's the difference between you and her. How about the brothers? What do you think, if you point one thing that you see, it's a big challenge between husband and wife when it comes to children? Come on, guys, we need to hear from you so we can help with giving you real advice instead of us just coming up with anybody. What do you think? Do you remember when you had, for your kids, what was the, how your kids tested your marriage? Yes, I'll get your hand if there's no other hand. Just so we can get more people to, okay, go ahead. Beautiful. Yeah, very good. He said one of the challenges can be manipulating a child to put him in one side, other another. So it can be the mother's side or the mother family against the father's family, or disconnected from the other family. That's also can be a challenge and can cause damage into the relationship between husband and wife. And I can't emphasize enough on how dangerous this is. You know, your child is an innocent. Why would you feed them these kind of hatred and also it's haram to teach your children from the early age to cut ties with their family. And family from both sides, from the father and the mother. This is not the attitude of the Muslimin. Al-Muslimin yasilun al-arham wal-kafirin. Qala Allah Ta'ala fi haqqihim. Hal asaytum in tawallaytum an tufsilu fil ard wa tuqatti'u arhamakum. That the kuffar, the way they cut ties with family. You know, this is the attitude of disbeliever, not the Muslims, not the believers. We connect them. We should encourage them to spend time with their in-laws, with their maternal family, grandparents, parents, and uncles, aunts, and cousins, and the same thing from the paternal side. That's important, and it is haram to do that. And that's, in my opinion, there is a reference point, Al-Quran is Tayyib. But sometimes the problem, tension can comes with they say, yes, but you know what, his family teach my kids bad things. What do we do in a case like this? You know, Sheikh, your brother, not your, like she will say to her husband, your brother smokes, and he doesn't smoke outside the house. And I don't want my kids to go to your home. Your parents watch things on TV, which they want my kids to watch. You know, they let them eat whatever they want. I can give you tens of examples like this. And that's why I'm taking this position. They lie, they hit them, they whatever. Things like that can be a valid concern. How can we deal with something like that?
So,
am I right, guys? Or I'm making this like,
I mean, this is a valid point. First of all, you have to have honest conversations with your children and build the house on moral grounds, sound moral grounds from the beginning. Show them what is allowed and what is not allowed, and show them that in society they will be exposed to things that are not allowed. It's not just their in-laws, it's not just their uncles or their cousins But society itself, they will face things that are not allowed. Beautiful. So you have to actually, from the beginning, be an educator to your child, be a mentor to your child, in a very, let's say, friendly way, make things clear to them, and do not speak to the child like he's a child. Speak to them like they want you to speak to them. They would like you to speak to them as an adult, then speak to them like an adult, because that will enhance their confidence, their self-esteem. So in this way, you tell them what is right and what is wrong, and when they go to their, when they go to their, let's say, cousins, they will know that this is not allowed, and they will not be judgmental at the same time. You will teach them that, you know, what is the proper way, and you can't be always on point, because sometimes children will do what children do. But you, at the same time, do not try to shield them. Sometimes it could work in a very pure Puritan environment, but we're not living in a Puritan environment. We're living in an environment that is very toxic. So shielding them sometimes can give them the wrong immunity. You need to teach them and be patient with them, you know, step by step, until finally, you know, when they're exposed to these things, they know what to take and what not to take. Eventually, you will always have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect your children. But you're not going to be with them 24/7. And at the same time, you cannot be shielding them all the time. And it may backfire at you, where, oh, you shielded us all this time, and now we want to rebel. So it's really a very, very delicate balance that you have to have with your children.
And also, you should put boundaries with your family members.
Right. Yeah,
and I would always say, don't, you're not a man if you let your wife talk to your father. You're not a woman if you let your husband talk to your dad. Real man, real woman will say, I deal with my own parents. I'll deal with my own family. You know, I don't need you to talk. I'll talk to my brother. I said, you don't do that. I'll talk to my sister. I'll talk to my parents about it. You don't let your spouse do that, your job for you. Okay? Yes? Not to damage the image of your family towards your spouse,
right.
So it will not fire back. Very good, very good. JazakAllah khair. Well said, well taken. Tayyip, what about big issue? Now they are adult too. There is like, I don't want to talk on your behalf, but I would like to hear from you guys, and it comes to children and challenges facing children. Like, okay, when they get older, like for example, I like this shielding concept. It's not about the little ones, even about the older ones. I know, I don't want to mention, you know, but I know some people had a very hard time when one of their children moved to another state to study. But I was so proud of them that they did not hold back their child from traveling. You know, give them the ability to experience something new, you know? And sometimes we have to learn how to do that. You know, sometimes it comes to marriage, you know, about our children. You know, this shielding and
the possession. You know, there are possessive parents who would not let their children go. Even when they're married, they make their children's marriage miserable because they won't let go.
But I have an aspect I want to talk about in regard to children. We'll end with it quickly. You're going to call that then? Go ahead.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة
Yes. Which, in regard to which one? To which point? Yeah, I think every house can put a boundaries. Yeah, even growing, like even my kids are growing. It doesn't mean that my rules, my house, there are certain rules. You know, that's fine. You know, inshallah, when you move on in your own house, you can do your own rules. You know, it also every house is different. Like people have a different, you know, some people they might not have a rules or curfew time. You know, so. As long as we agree with it as a family, we explain to them why I have a curfew, because safety, because, you know, there's work. I don't want you to miss Fajr. I don't want you to, you know, to be lazy in the morning. You know, that's not how it is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for your health, sleeping is so important for your health, and sleeping in the night, and we have many doctors here, can correct me if I'm wrong, or people of science. The study shows that night sleep is way more important than sleeping during the daytime, you know. So all these are very important. That's why I put a curfew. I'm not just putting it because I'm like a dictator, you know, or I'm you know, controlling your life. No. So as long as you say that, in the end of the day, it's not a democracy. It's not a voting system. You know, khalas, that's why my rules, I explain it to you why, and that's the rules in the house. And that's the most important thing, you and your spouse agree onto this, and it goes. So what time, what is, how many, you know, that's up to the, we can't involve in that. That's up to you and your family. But my general advice, put the rules, but don't be too strict. And yeah, I can give a break one time, I can, it's jarat mu'awiyah. And it's like it's a hair, because also I've seen people just quit, left. You know, who cares? Unfortunately, even you raise your kids very well, but that's an option. Like always, there. Like going back to the point, as we all know, kids spell the word love, T-I-M-E. That's how they spell the word love. Time. One of the biggest challenge that test marriage when children comes is time. Many things, to have time with each other as spouse, and for you, if you're working parents, to have time with children. So let me start with the first part, and Sheikh Ibrahim cover the second part. For time with each other, please, if you have children, your primary focus when your relationship with your spouse is not your children. Your primary focus is your children. So many times she will tell you, oh, or he'll tell, just because we have kids, we're living together. No, even if you have no kids, if we have a million kids, I would divorce you. And if we don't have any kids, I would never divorce you. What make me live with you is because I love you, because you're a good person to be with. Kids is not the only reason for me to be with you. That has to be very clear. You know, it has to be, you have to invest in the relationship with you. So if the relationship turned to feel the only reason you are together just because of the kids, that's a very sad relationship. And that means there's, when they grow up and be older, that's going to be even harder for both of you guys to live together. And it became a disaster later on. Invest in the relationship. So you have, that's why I say, get a babysitter, you know, hire a nanny, do whatever it takes from you to make sure that you have time with your wife. You go out for dinner, for vacations, for, you know, spend time, vacation without the kids, you know, find ways, spend your money on it. You know, that's the best way to invest, you know, your money in the relationship between you and a spouse. Take it from your brother, take it from your imam, take it from your friend, take it from somebody who's teaching fiqh of love. Okay, so that I always say, a fiqh of love, I said, vacations are not luxury, they are necessities. You know, spending time together. Doesn't need to be luxury vacations somewhere, even if it's just a day in somewhere, but to spend time with your spouse. The other part is time with kids, Sheikh.
All right. So I want to add to your point. You know, sometimes when we do premarital counseling, I advise strongly the couple to wait before they have children. Like I tell them, give yourself 3 years to build the relationship.
Yeah. And some culture.
Yeah. This is, yeah. Give yourself 3 years to build the relationship. Because what happens is that in the beginning you have what we call infatuation. You fall in love. But as soon as you have fallen in love, you could easily fall out of love. And some people think, oh, that means there's no marriage, there's no relationship now. No, actually, love happens after you have fallen out of love. And that becomes where you are free to love your wife. You choose to love her, not you're not actually tricked into loving her. It's your choice to love her or to love him. Tricked into is the attraction. And Allah put that in us so we can get married. But after that, it becomes genuine. Back to the time issue is, what happens is that in marriage, you're actually modeling marriage in front of your children. So, which means that you want a healthy child, when they grow up, they also produce a healthy marriage. Because actually, your children are watching you, how you're treating their mom, if you're respecting their mom, if you're listening to their mom, if you're having conversation with her. So you have to actually have time for the family. And have what we call family rituals. And these are extremely important, family rituals, where at least you have 3 dinners a week that family sit together, regardless if you have college students.
With no cell phone.
No cell phone. Put the cell phone down and have a meal together. Go to a restaurant together. See how you act in public and how you display affection for your wife in front of your children and in the public. And that requires time. It's important that you model this in front of your children, because then they know. What I found from a lot of reading, that a lot of people are actually mimicking their parents in their marriages. And they say, we usually marry our unfinished business. What do they mean by that is something that we missed in our parents, now we wanna marry it in our spouse, and it becomes a disaster marriage. So you need to actually keep in mind that your children are watching you. You're teaching them marriage 101 from the beginning. You're teaching them affection, love, respect, truthfulness, trust,
and that
honesty.
Will not be displayed without spending time together
as a family.
Definitely
not. That's why you have to have time with your children. And not only that, there is something they call a girl's daddy, how to be a daddy for your girl. I'm having a little challenge with my daughter Amina, where I have to actually go and get a book to read about how she is, so I can deal with her and learn, because you really need to find ways to open up to her or open up to your children. And you know, dealing with daughters is different from dealing with boys.
You know, one of the things that helped me a lot with that, mm-hmm. I do have something called Daddy Girls Trip, you know, a year. So every year I take my girls and go.
That's very good.
Yeah. Abu Ayman, I know you have a very outstanding relationship with your daughters, especially Summer. How did you get to be like so close to each other like that? What do you think, if you want to advise someone? I know that they're so close. Can you? She check his blood pressure every day, and she lives in California. You know, she makes sure she's good. She's like always there for him. You know, he still have, you know, the high school stuff, her high school written, and you know, so many memories, yeah, as if it just happened yesterday, and it happened like a decade ago. So how did you do that? Well, if there is a tip, advice. We all love.
And so much.
Given what?
I've asked her that question myself. Like, what is it? She said, Daddy, you were empowering us. You trust us. And you wanted us to do things, and you're just watching. But then when it comes time to tough disciplining, you're there. Like, no. Now that's a red line. You can't do this. Mm-hmm. And they loved that. And they respected that.
I know also that. Even though you dedicated your life for them, that's right. Single father for 10 years.
Taking care of my kids, they were 8, 11, and 13.
That's incredible.
So that's a lot of time you spent with them, right?
Enormous time. I'm an engineer, technical safety and risk manager for oil and gas. But I give them all the time and all the love.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
It's so much to say.
Yeah. Thank you.
Years, but the key thing is just a lot of, but something you touched on just a minute ago and caught my attention, the fun part. You don't want to be a boring parent. You want to be a friend. You want to
just
whatever they like. Yeah. I hate to say this in a mosque, in a masjid, but I'm a musician.
Mm-hmm.
Besides, so we just, you know, when it comes to joking.
A lot of parties.
And I took them all over the USA.
Traveling together.
Trips.
So, excellent.
The fun part is important.
Yeah. I want to say this was, I personally have this trip with my boys and my girls. Once a year, try every time. It has an unbelievable amount of closeness,
right.
Talking.
Intimacy,
you know,
yeah.
And it open up to each other. We'll not have that inside the house. Soon you leave the environment
exactly.
That you are in.
Right.
It helps a lot. It's never too late to do
that's,
that.
That's important. You know? Go outside the house. Get out of the environment and let them see that you are treating them as a friend. Friendship,
right.
That's important.
So many parents, they're so busy making money and working and stuff like that. And wallahi, they're missing the most important thing in life, which is spending time with their children.
Right.
I will guarantee you that upon your end of your life, when you're sitting by yourself, and you will never regret a moment or a day that you spend with children. I can't think of a day that spend with children or trips. I said, I wish I didn't do it. I can think of so many opportunities I had to spend with my kids, and I didn't do it. Today, I made a decision. It was expensive. I don't have a high income. My income is like middle class, like most of you. Okay, and I have to make a decision. I would like to take I'm going to speak at ISNA conference. You know what? I'm going to take my boys, my teenager boys with me. Yes, it is over $1,000 to pay for tickets and to trip. But you know what? I said to myself, you know what? It's worth it.
Yeah, it's an investment.
It's an investment.
Yeah.
We'll go together. We'll see conference together. You know, they get to meet their uncle there. And you know what? I'll do it. I'm for it. That traveling in the airplanes late in the night, it is something important. So what I want to say, don't ever be among those who spend their life making a living, but they never made a life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, speaking of which, one of the challenges in marriage is, in 2 minutes or 4 minutes.
Right.
Quickly, two things. When there is, you know, the attitude of consumerism. And also there's another issue that caught my attention when we talk here is the different level of education, when there is different level of education. Or different level of, yeah, let's quickly cover these two. What do you mean by the attitude of consumerism when it comes to relationships?
So what happened is that this is the modern marriage plague, actually, when each spouse is considering himself like in this marriage institute, let's say, institution, where, which I disagree with the term institution, in this marriage it's a relationship, but they look at it as what's in it for me? What's in it for me? Once they, okay, they marry this spouse, they have benefits from this spouse. Once the, you know, the beauty fades in, or once things change, he's out. In the first minute that these benefits become less, he's out or she's out. And they're actually plagued by the media. You have everything is about, you know, when any commercial that you see, they highlight where you will be the happiest spouse if you have this thing, or you'll be happy if you own this, or if you go on this trip, you'll be happy. It's all to make you a consumer spouse, focusing on the material things that will make you, quote unquote, happy, but not the relationship that is making you happy. A lot of times, you accumulate all that stuff and bring it to the house, does not make you happy because the relationship is not there. You don't have a relationship. So what happens is that you need to change the marriage from being a consumerism oriented marriage into a relationship oriented marriage, where you're building a relationship. Even if you're just living in an apartment, it's a relationship. Both of you are building
eating in a first class restaurant. It's not what a Cheesecake Factory is not going to make you.
Exactly.
You might be so happy even if you're eating at
Asawa, for example.
Halal meat.
Or Asawa, for example. No,
I'm not going to mention Abdullah.
No, Asawa is a good restaurant. It's one of my favorites. This is a commercial for Asawa. Okay.
Anyway, so that's a very good point. What about, one of the things that I found, level of education, when there is a big gap between them, it leads to a sense of arrogance. Like I remember I had a couple, he was telling me, I'm a PhD holder. You know, I'm a doctor. And she's to flip burgers in McDonald's. Kid, straightforward, he told me that. I said, yeah, if you think you are too good for your spouse, you know, you're wrong. Don't marry her, don't marry him. So one of the things is, but in the same times, I would say, compatibility is important. I don't recommend you to marry someone. There is a huge gap between you and that person when it comes to education. Because sometimes you can't link together, talk to each other on the same level. It's been too complicated. It's became, you don't understand each other's, the interest is not there. I would not recommend that as well. I don't know, what do you have?
I would like to add, which is really important, it happens especially when the husband is the breadwinner and the wife is depending on him. And it, Like she's depending on him. So she's marrying him. Yes, there is a relationship, but she is more into this marriage because of her needing him. And she would dread the point where the marriage will be no more. Because where am I gonna go now? I don't have any job. What's gonna happen to me? So that marriage actually is not healthy. Even though it happens, this is the marriage of many of our families, many of our mothers had that same type of marriage. And they had to put up with a lot of abuse because of it. However, education empowers women, and I'm saying it in the positive way, not the negative way, that they are able to actually be a contributor to the family. They are able to understand better the relationship. So sometimes husbands become insecure. They become, what's gonna happen now? She's independent. Now she's gonna have a job. Well, if you have a strong marriage and you have a strong relationship, you shouldn't be afraid. Let her choose you. Let her choose to love you rather than needing to love you. I need to love him. I had a conversation with one of the sisters, and she says, I said, do you love him after the divorce? And she's devastated. I said, do you love him? She says, yes, he's my husband. I said, no, not because he's your husband, you love him. Do you really love him? She said, no, I don't, because he abused me. I said, you see the difference? When you felt like you needed him, you needed to love him. That is not a healthy relationship. So the healthy relationship is built on choice, that she's choosing to be with you. And Islamically, that is a very valid
point.
Yes, she's choosing you by choice, and maybe if she becomes more educated and you support her, she will love you even more, and she will be a better contributor, because challenges could happen where you could get sick, and then you will need her support. Mm-hmm. Or something could happen where you die, and you leave a woman that is empowered, strengthened, is able to take care of your children after you die. These things happen. So we have to understand the dynamics. We live in a world where the society is affecting us. The society, the dynamics of society is affecting us, and that's part of it, is that we are not alien to this society. Whatever happens in society happens to us. So it's better to, and that goes back to unity, it's better to unite with your wife in building the relationship where she's choosing to love you, choosing to work with you, choosing to support you, and you're not afraid if she becomes even more educated than you. You're not afraid if she pursues her higher education. If that's the case, then you go ahead and educate yourself as well. Just like Barira's, the story of Barira, Barira radiallahu anha freed herself. Her husband didn't choose to free himself. She left him. In essence, she kind of told him, you had the chance to be with me, but you chose not to because you sat and did not do anything. So yes, it's important to realize
that. The good
that.
Thing is, we're planning to continue this conversation also next week. Next week we have a special guest coming, which is Sister Sara Sultan, I believe. She will be joining us, I'm not sure this week or the next. We'll also have another week with Sister Sara Dwan. Mm-hmm. She's not feeling well today, otherwise she would have been with us. But we have different aspects we would like to explore in this right. area. So it just because I'm in the mood of teaching Fiqh of Love, I guess. So I'm very excited about it.
It's a very needed subject.
And it's a very needed topic. I think it's an important topic to talk about it. And there is, one other thing for the young men here. My son said, Baba, why marriage? Khalas, tuna marriage. Talk too much about marriage. I said, there's a lot of things you can pick on and pick from this conversation, and it will help you. Even if you now, this moment, you don't think it's very related to us, but later on in the time, you will find that these are very helpful information that are embedded in your mind and the back of your head. So when you grow, you just don't marry someone that you can live with, but you should always look for someone you can't live without. And this is two different attitudes when it comes to who I want to spend the rest of my life with. Thank you very much for being a great participant tonight. And see you inshallah next week. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.